Philippians chapter 3. Let's finish here. Keep ourselves from getting stuck. You say, Pastor, I didn't plan on getting stuck. Well, life happens. I said, life happens. And it's not going to announce itself to you. And the only way you're going to be able to make it, you got to live by the Bible. Amen. God's holy word. Let's get our context here where we were a couple weeks ago. And then let's end verse number 16 and see if God will help you like he helped me. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, everybody say nevertheless. That's an important word in the Bible. Whereto we have already attained. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the what? Come on, mind the what? You ever got told, mind your business? Huh? You know the problem with a lot of Christians? They're in everybody's business but their own. Now, Paul says here, we've all got business that we have in common. And we can make this thing work. Amen. God can make it work. If we'll mind the what? Same thing. Let's talk about it a little while this morning. Father, help us. Help me. Cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self and fill me with your spirit. If anybody's not saved, save that one today. Bind the devil. Put a hedge of protection about this place. Oh, he's busy. But God, you are busier. And we know that you're greater than he is. So help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for staying. Keeping from getting stuck. Let's review spiritual discernment. Everybody say spiritual discernment. And you note you should have sensible disownment. Everybody say sensible disownment. Is that what you said? Everybody say a supreme desire that I may know him. How bad you want to know him? Hey, listen to me. You'll know God as much as you want to. I said, you'll know God as much as you want to. If you're not getting to know him more, it's not his fault. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. You can know him more by experience the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. You can learn to have that power over sin, but you can also learn the fellowship of his sufferings and be able to understand how to suffer like God suffers. Listen to me. All of us will suffer. You say, Pastor, I'm not suffering. Don't tell anybody. Yea, all that live godly will suffer persecution. So you should be suffering if you're living godly. So the question is not if you'll suffer. The question is, will you suffer the way Jesus suffered? Sanctified dissatisfaction. I've not already attained. Specialized devotion. But I follow after if that I may apprehend that which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Everybody say the word purpose. Say it one more time. Purpose. Paul says, I want to live my purpose. How do I keep from getting stuck? I got to realize God put me down here for a reason. Now, if you woke up this morning, say amen. If you didn't say amen, wake up. Hey, listen, you didn't wake up because your alarm clock. You woke up because God woke you up. You didn't wake up because you're in good shape. You woke up because God woke you up. People in good shape die all the time. People without an alarm clock wake up all the time. You woke up today because God still has a reason for you to be alive. Hey, let me tell you something. Life may not be easy, but I'm glad I'm here because God still has something for me. Hey, God still has something for you. Turn to the person beside you. Say, God still has something for you. Amen. So you need to find it. Specialized devotion. I got to find out why he saved me. Why did Jesus come looking for me? Why did the Holy Spirit come live inside of me? Why did God inspire a Bible to guide me? Why has God put people in my life that will influence me? Why has God set me in a church that will grow me? Why has God given me the power over the devil that wants to destroy me? He has a purpose. He has a plan. He has a blueprint. You realize there's nobody else in the world like you? There's not another one that you can't be somebody else because you're the only person that can be you. You be the you that God called you to be on purpose. single-minded direction. This one thing I do. How am I going to stay single-minded? Forget the past. Focus on the future. Relinquish the past. Have a resolute progression in my life. I got to look ahead. I got to look ahead. You can't look back. You can't look down. You can't look around. You got to look ahead. God's got something in front of you. In front of you. God is never taking you backwards. God is never retreating you. God never wants you to be drifting the wrong direction. I know, Pastor, but this is happening and this went wrong and this I don't like and this I'd like to change. Hey, let me tell you something. God is on the forward move. God is marching forward. And those of us that are not stuck, we're always moving forward. Don't you let your circumstances delay you. Don't you let your difficulties deter you. Don't you let your enemies derail you. My friend, you be decisive and decide, I'm pressing forward. I'm moving ahead, but I can't do it. Of course you can't do it. God has to do it through you. Amen. Single-minded direction. Strict, steadfast dedication. Steadfast dedication. I press toward the mark. Everybody say, I press. Well, Pastor, why do you make us repeat these things? Because sometimes they come off better when you hear you say them, otherwise than just hearing me say them. I press. I press. I'm pushing at it. I'm pushing at it. I'm pushing at it. I'm pushing at it. No one will push you as hard as you can push yourself. Did anybody hear me? Nobody will push you as hard as you can push yourself. Christians that get stuck quit pushing themselves. All these people around them pushing. Parents are pushing, and spouses are pushing, and pastors are pushing, and friends are pushing. But you get stuck when you quit pushing. Listen, you resolve today, on this day in August 2021, you resolve, I'm going to press. By the way, the world's pressing. Athletes are pressing. Movie stars are pressing. Politicians are pressing. But they're pressing for a corruptible crown. They're pressing for something that will pass away. They're pressing for something that won't last. Hey, listen to me. We're pressing toward the mark. Come on now. Not just any mark, but the high calling of God. Not just anybody at the end of the mark, but Jesus standing at the mark with the prize. Heaven's getting sweeter all the time. Did you hear the song this morning? I can only imagine. Can you imagine what it's going to be like surrounded by his presence? No pain, no sorrow, no death, no tears, no sickness, no turmoil, no lying, no hating, no stealing, no cussing. Listen to me. Can you imagine when every day is going to be a perfect day? I'm pressing toward that mark. We're not there yet, but you got to be leaning with every bit of your body. Steadfast dedication. And then we close with what we call strict discipline. Strict discipline. Now, what do you mean, Pastor? Strict discipline. Here's what he says in verse number 15. Let us therefore, having studied all we've studied, line upon line, verse upon verse, word upon word, here a little, there a little. He said, having looked at everything Paul said, everything I said about not getting stuck, let us therefore as many as be thus minded. For every single one of you that said amen to all those verses that I just preached about, he said, be thus minded. But he's talking about perfect folk. What do you mean perfect? Spiritually mature. I asked you a couple weeks ago, are you growing? Are you closer to God today than you were yesterday? Who's going to make that decision for you? Spiritual maturity, spiritual growth, where there's development happening in your Christian life, where there's movement happening in your Christian life. We're good for blame shifting, and we got it from our originators, Adam and Eve. They messed up. Listen to me. They messed up and immediately they started blaming each other. Adam blamed the wife and Eve blamed the devil. Let me tell you something. When you mess up, don't blame anybody. Blame yourself. Because God, can you imagine? They had no flesh, but still sinned. I know what you're saying. How in the world could they sin without a sin nature? Well, how in the world can we sin with the Holy Ghost living inside of them? Same choice. We lean on our own understanding. We trust in our flesh, and the arm of flesh will fail you. So spiritual maturity, as many of you be thus minded. Then the scriptural mindset. Look at verse number 15 again. He says, be thus minded. If you're perfect, be thus minded. Let the Bible be your guide. Remember that old movie, Pinocchio, let your conscience be your guide. Don't you let your conscience be your guide. Well, you say, I got a pretty good conscience. The Bible says it can be seared. You know what that means? Seared with a hot iron. It's a metaphor. It literally means to be rendered insensitive. To be rendered without any feeling. See, you don't want your conscience to be your guide, because if your conscience has been seared, it has no feeling. So your conscience will say, do it, when the word of God said, don't do it. Your conscience will say, don't do it, when the word of God said, do it. And let me tell you, don't let the conscience be your guide. Let the scripture be your guide. As many as be perfect, be thus mine. Be a Bible believer, but not just a Bible believer, but a Bible behaviorer. Amen. To decide I'm going to live by the Bible, obey the Bible, reproduce the Bible in my life. As many as be perfect, be thus minded. Notice the specific misunderstandings. However, look at verse number 15. But if you be otherwise minded, watch this now. If you're not caught up with the Bible in your thinking, do you know anybody in your life that you speak to and you can't seem to agree because that individual doesn't align his thinking with the Bible? Raise your hand if you know anybody like that. Some of them are Christians. Just because Christ is in them doesn't mean they're living according to the word of God. So there will be specific misunderstandings. There will be times when people don't understand Scripture. They don't align with Scripture. They don't agree with Scripture. They don't accept Scripture. What is my response to that? A sovereign manifestation. Here it is. He says, God shall reveal it unto them. God will reveal it unto you. Hey, look here. Look at this moment. If you don't agree with the Bible, God knows how to teach you. Come on. Come on. Listen, if you made up your mind, the Bible says this, I'm going to do that. The Bible says this, I'm going to do that. If you made up your mind, the Bible says don't, I'm going to do it anyway. The Bible says do, I'm not going to do it. If you made up your mind, the Bible says I shouldn't, but I'm going to do it anyway. Let me tell you something. God has a way of revealing the word of God to you. I was reading in Daniel while I was on vacation this week, and I was reading, and some of the most wonderful statements that I could think about by an individual made about God in the book of Daniel. Guess who those statements were made by? Nebuchadnezzar. You know, we study Nebuchadnezzar and all we think about is this prideful, pompous man who got so hung up on himself that God had to send him down to crawl around like an animal and eat grass. What we don't realize is after he went down crawling around, he woke up and realized who God was. And if I read you some of the statements out of Daniel and say, who said this in the Bible? A whole bunch of you would be saying, Daniel, Joseph, Paul, Peter, James, Hezekiah. If I told you Nebuchadnezzar, you said, no, I never thought that come out of Nebuchadnezzar's mouth. Let me tell you something. You crawl around in the grass like he did, you'd be saying some good things too. Let me tell you something. God has a way of taking us from our pride and dropping us down. That's why he says, humble yourself. Why? So he don't have to humble you. That's why he says, listen, so he doesn't have to make you listen. That's why he says, be still, so he doesn't have to set you still. Listen to me. You're going to go in time out one way or the other. You take a time out or you get put in time out. If you don't understand the Bible or don't live it properly, God shall reveal it. Let the church say amen. Now look at verse number 16 with that in mind. Nevertheless, everybody say nevertheless. I want you to write down a studious mentality. The Christian life is a life of being a student. Pastor, I'm stuck in my Christian life. I'll tell you what, stop learning. You took your learning cap off and said, well, I've been at this long enough. I've been reading this Bible long enough. I've heard enough preaching. I've heard enough sermons. I've been in church. I've been involved. I have enough spiritual feats on my spiritual resume. I don't have to learn anymore. You don't ever stop learning until you get to heaven. So he says, nevertheless. Now, why is he saying nevertheless? Because in verse 15, he referred to those who were otherwise minded. Here's what he's saying. They had not come to the level of a biblical appreciation as others had. So therefore, they weren't living at the same level as others. Now, watch this now. If you're not careful, you'll be so spiritual, you'll become a Pharisee. Somebody help me preach. You'll be living a certain way and you'll be intolerant of anyone who's not. You'll look down at people. You'll castigate people because they're not living like you. You'll walk around with your spiritual lenses and you'll go, I do this, but you don't. I'm like this and you're not. I'm at this level and you're not at this level. And let me tell you something. The Pharisees received the most scathing words from Jesus in all of the Bible. You know why? They knew so much on the outside, but they knew so little on the inside. There is nothing Christ-like about looking down at people. The only time you ought to be looking looking down at somebody when you're trying to help them up. Amen. You should never be looking. Now, here's what he says. Some are otherwise minded. Look here. In Crossroads Baptist Church, there are people who are at this level biblically, people who are at this level biblically. Some of that is because of how long they've been saved, and some of that is because of the kind of biblical student that they are. Regardless, we're all going to be at different levels spiritually based on our reading of the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God, and applying the Word of God, studying the Word of God. We're all at different levels, but everybody say, nevertheless. Verse 16, whereto we have already attained. A studious mentality. What is the word attained there? It has the idea of arrived. It has the idea of learned. It has the idea of gathered information. It has the idea of how much Bible your heart has become a receptacle of. Now look at the next three words. Let us walk. Everybody say, let us walk. Let us walk. Studious mentality. And then write this down in your notes. Stewarded motivation. Stewarded motivation. Now let's review what stewardship is. Everybody say, stewardship is not ownership. Say it again. Stewardship is not ownership. A steward doesn't own, a steward manages. And he's been privileged to manage based on the opportunity given him by the owner. You walk into a store, the manager is not the owner. He's got some authority what happens in the store, but he ain't controlling the money. Okay, the owner has selected the manager, and if he's wise, he picks a manager who will properly manage his stuff. Aren't you glad that God thought so much of you and thought so much of me, who owns everything? The cattle of a thousand hills, he owns it. All the gold and the silver in the world, he owns it. All of the animals and all of the things in the world, he owns it. But watch this now. He owns me. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God. Listen to me. He owns me. He said, I don't like the sound of that. Let me tell you something. You better be glad he owns you, because there was nobody else that could buy you. Nobody else that would buy you. Nobody else rich enough that was able to buy you. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. He is the propitiation. It literally means he appeases the wrath of God. Enmity separates you and God. That's what how you and I are with God before we get saved. But because of the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross, it was given as a payment for our sins. We were purchased with the blood of Christ, adopted into the family of God, realized that we were elected to salvation, predestinated unto good work. Come on, somebody say amen. Given a Bible, given the Holy Spirit, and God has chosen by his grace and by his mercy. Wherever you find grace, look around the corner. Mercy is right in proximity, because grace is giving you good stuff you don't deserve. Mercy is holding back the bad stuff that you do deserve. Grace gave me heaven and mercy kept back hell. Somebody say amen. And God has given me that grace and given me that scripture. And now that he's given me that, he as my owner is allowing me to be his manager. He gives me his time to manage it properly. Gives me his talents to manage them properly. Gives me his treasure to manage it properly. I've got a family. I've got a marriage. I've got a church. I've got friendships. I've got relationships. I've got all these things that God has given me. Why? He wants me to manage it properly. But let me tell you something. One of the greatest managements, my friend, that you must handle properly as a good steward is the knowledge of the Bible that you have attained. Now, here's what he's saying in verse number 15. I don't want you to miss this. There's so many Christians that will focus, I haven't learned that yet. I don't agree with you on that Bible. I see it a little bit differently. I study this passage and I feel a little bit different about the passage in you. I'm at this level in my Christian life, and you're at this level in the Christian life, and we're both in the same church. How are we going to get along if you're a genius and I'm barely passing the class? Here's what Paul says. Here's how we're going to get along. You, all of you. This is how the church will keep on moving and not get stuck. Everybody live the Bible you've learned. This is the problem. Whereunto you've attained. There's too much disagreement and bickering over where we don't agree on the Bible and not enough living on what we do agree. Crossroads Baptist Church will be a better church if every man, woman, boy, or girl today, 22nd of August, 2021, decided today as of now, I'm going to live the Bible I know. There's enough Bible that you and I all know that if we'd live, we wouldn't get stuck. And here's how. He'll give you more if you obey what you know. John 7:17. Write it down. John 7:17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether I speak of God or whether I speak of myself. This is Jesus speaking. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether I speak of God or whether I speak of myself. One of the biggest clarifiers of biblical information for the child of God is obedience. You are not a good gauge on scriptural insight if you're a rebellious Christian. You are the most deceived about yourself when you're disobedient. Don't be advising somebody about the Bible when you're not obeying the Bible. That's why you can't disciple a new Christian who won't get baptized. Don't get quiet on me. I've known Christians, the pastor, I want you to come over and go over Bible study with me. We go through the A through Z's of the Christian life. Well, A is assurance of salvation. B is baptism. C is church membership. Why am I going to be at M when you won't obey B? Why in the world would God expect you to discuss the deeper things of the Christian life when you won't follow Lord and believers' baptism? Baptism is not something you evolve into based on your spiritual demonstration. Baptism is a step of obedience in identification with Lord Jesus Christ and placing you in the local New Testament church. Hey, Cornelius, you believe? Get baptized. Ethiopian eunuch, what doth hinder me to be baptized? If thou believe, hey, the jailer, Acts chapter 16, get baptized. Hey, Saul got saved on the road to Damascus. Get baptized. Hey, Lydia. The gospel was opened unto her. She attended to it. She got baptized. Acts 2:41. Then they did gladly receive his word. 3,000 people. Did they get baptized after a class? Did they get baptized after taking a lesson? Did they get baptized after getting rid of their bad habits? They got baptized the same day they got saved. Why? The Bible says he that believeth and is baptized. Baptism is not for salvation, because if you read the rest of the verse, he that believeth not shall be damned. It is unbelief that will send you to hell. But baptism shows that as soon as I get in the family, I'm in obedience to my Father. I'm in agreement with my Savior. I'm in alignment with the Holy Ghost of God. I'll tell you the problem with the Christian life. We want more, but we won't do something with what we've already got. I learned a long time ago, until I go to heaven, I am doomed. Why are you doomed, Pastor? Because I came into the world being such a regular recipient of truth. I can't live any kind of way. I can tell how many Christian people out here say, why you take it so serious? Why is it such a big deal? Too much Bible. Too much Bible. You can't get up every morning, read 3 Old Testament chapters, 3 New Testament chapters, read a proverb, and read 5 Psalms, and think that that's only good for bragging on it in a message. Somebody said, oh, he must be saying that because he wants to know how, wants everybody to know he's such a great Christian. No. Every day I read all them chapters, you know what God said? You got to live them now. Hey, the best way to not be so accountable, just don't read your Bible. The only problem is you're accountable for the verses in the Bible that tell you to read your Bible. You can't get saved and escape accountability. For you young people that have grown up in the church, as many as have attained. You've been too blessed with information. And the thing about Bible knowledge, it's not just information. It's inspiration. It's illumination. Come on now. It's God through the Holy Ghost of God. Oh, can you imagine this book that's right here with just letters and fonts? And we think of black and white letters and red letters that tell us the words of Jesus Christ. And we open books all the time. We just flip through them and read them. But ladies and gentlemen, this is not just any old book. This is God's holy word. Listen to me. What if the Bible's not true? I can't even entertain that what if. Don't have a conversation. Well, why don't you find out that the Bible's not true? I'm not going to even have a conversation about that. It's proven itself to me time and 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 time. It is true. Yeah, the bigots will come. Yeah, the skeptics will come. Yeah, the criticizers will come. You're not going to knock me on this book. I've done more than hear it preached or hear it taught or hear it quoted. I've done more than just read it or put my eyes on it. I've experienced its life-transforming power. I base my salvation upon it. I base my call to preach upon it. I base purity upon it. I base seeking a wife after it. I base raising a family after it. I'm basing, Pastor, I'm not a perfect person, but I have a perfect book. Amen. Now you live in what you know. Stewarded motivation. Consistent progress. Let us walk. Let us walk. Let us walk. Let us walk. What do you mean, Paul? Walk by the same rule. What's the same rule? The rule that says whatever we get taught from the Word of God, we will obey. A committed pattern. A pattern of practicing biblical principles as God has given them. You can't just get up one day and decide, well, I don't like it, I don't feel it, I don't agree with it anymore, I don't like the way it sounds, so I'm not going to do it anymore. There's only one problem. If it's in the Bible, it ain't your choice. Stewarded motivation, which means a united walk, and then a unanimous way. Mind, the same thing. A centered focus and a cooperative fellowship. Mind the same thing. How can a church be unanimous? We all like the same carpet. We all like the same food. We all like the same paint color. We all like the same songs. We all like the same sports team. Strike, 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 strike. But we can all mind the same thing. What do you mean the same thing? Love for one another. Faith in God. Commitment to His Word. Hey, are you in on that? Listen to me. We don't have to vote on the same team. We got to vote on the same book. What happens to Christians when they get stuck? They go minding their own thing. Paul challenged this church. You're going to make a decision every single day on what you do with truth. 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 I can have my opinion about you. You can have your opinion about me. Neither one of us can have our opinion about truth. You can't have an opinion about a fact. Great verse in the Bible, Hebrews chapter 4. I'm going to hope I can remember it. Verse number 2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Let me say it again. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. Two groups. Everybody say two groups. Us and them. Same word preached. Who's over here? Who? Okay. Word preached unto. But the word did not profit. How did it profit? Is the word profitable? If the word's profitable, why did it not profit? But it profited. Here's the answer. Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Same word. Us heard it, them heard it. Same Bible. You can't take the Bible in the right way and it not profit you. Oh no, I need more than that. You can't take the Bible in and it not profit you. It profited, but it didn't profit. Why? Us mixed it with faith and them did not. Now you remember Crossroads Baptist Church. You get the word or not? Do you get the word or not? Whether I'm preaching it or anybody, we preach verse by verse the word of God. Well, the word's not profiting me. I wouldn't tell nobody. I would not tell anybody. I would not let my lips, my tongue, and every other faculty that allows me to produce sound. If I could not speak, I would not let my hands with my signing or my pencil or pen on paper say, the word is not profiting me, because it is an indictment and an admission that I'm not mixing my reception of it with faith. Because when faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, it will help you find me a biblical principle, mix it with faith, and it will profit you every single time. That's how to keep from getting stuck. Amen. Father, we love you and we bless your name. Help us. Heads bowed, eyes closed.